Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WBFF 97.7. Understanding the Bible. We're trying to read it slow, methodically, and show you a lot of hidden meanings. You got to look at every word, every sentence. You got to read it over and over and over again. I've read this book entirely over 100 times through, different passages hundreds of times through. And I tell you what, every time I pick it up and read it, God opens something up to me spiritually. Something in black and white, which reads from left to right, can take on a whole new meaning when you examine every word and listen to yourself. Don't read it in your head. Read it out loud. Let it go into your ears. There's a lot of things. We're in the book of Numbers, which a lot of people consider to Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy to be laborious reading. But once you've read the whole book and you go back and read these books again, you will find things that pertain to other things that you've seen, and it creates a greater understanding. We're in chapter 22, and there's a very interesting story coming up, and going to look at some stuff. Chapter 22, verse 1, "And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all the Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was so afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are around us, about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field." So these folks have seen what the Israelis have done. They're wandering in the wilderness because they disobeyed God. They doubted that they could go into the land of Canaan because they sent their spies in. And the spy, 10 of the spies come back and said, "Oh, woe is us. These people are huge. There's walled cities. We can't do it." And two of them gave a good report. And God says, "I'm going to wipe them all out." And Moses argued with him, said, "No, please don't do it. What will the other people of the world think?" And God says, "Yeah, you're right. I'm just going to let them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until all of them die that doubted that we're above the age 20. So that's what we're doing, wandering around. Some people let them pass by, and other people won't. The ones that come against them seem to be getting wiped out. I mean, God has his reasons for leaving them in the wilderness. So, and Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of the people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth. And we have done estimates. And at the time they exited from Egypt, we have estimated around 2 million persons. And we are many years later now. We're probably 20, 30 years in now. And there's probably 2.5 million. There's a lot of people, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me, this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, pretend I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." So, we got the king here, Balak, and he has sent for the local holy man, Balaam. And, you know, I've read this dozens and dozens of times before I realized something, and you're going to see it here, and I'm going to point it out in just a little bit. This man has true spiritual power. Mm-hmm. So, Balak calls for Balaam to come and curse the Israelites so that they will not destroy them. "And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak." So he called his wise men together. He said, "Go and get Balaam, bring him here to curse these people." And he said unto them, "Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me." And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me there, them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now, what is strange about that?
That he's not exactly a Hebrew, and God's communicating with him.
Face to face, almost, right?
Yeah.
You can't see him, but he's talking with
him.
And I read that so many times, and then it just dawned on me, what covenant is he under?
Right.
He is under the original Abrahamic covenant, which was, follow me with all your heart. You know, and if you're Hebrew, circumcise your children. But what does it break down to, Jonathan? Basically,
multiple ways.
Man is to...
To come back to that, to the original covenant.
Follow me with all your heart. Yeah. That's all God ever asked. That's what God asked Adam and Eve in the garden. Follow me with all your heart. And by the way, don't eat from that tree over there.
Because like you said in the last episode, God hates religion.
God hates religion. So this Balaam speaks to God on a regular basis. Everybody in the whole region knows it. You know, there are many, many covenants in this book, and we're going to show you that. In the book of remembrance, those who have made themselves eunuchs for my cause, in the last day, God says, those who reverence my name, I will bless. You know, and then there is the best of the best that trust in the Lamb of God. There are many, many, many covenants in this book. Doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is not the way, because the Bible also says, once you learn of him, none of these others matter. That's the only one that will get you there. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you unto your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you.
And if only he could have just stayed right there.
Yes, you're right. Because he is, he has a covenant with God. He talks to God, but he also likes earthly wealth that we're going to see here. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. He sent the bigger dudes with the bigger names. Yeah, and we sent the prince of this little county, we're going to send the prince of that big city now. He'll definitely be able to talk him into it. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, Thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Come, whatever you want that I have, you can have it. I'll give you the best seat at the king's table. All you got to do is come and curse these Israelites so that my armies can wipe them out. Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God. The Lord my God. This is not a Hebrew talking. This is one of the others. And, you know, it's interesting as Jesus, when he rose from the dead, and the apostle says, Where were you? He says, I was with my other sheep.
Yep.
Yes. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Okay, I'll go up and ask him again. I mean, anything I want, that's a lot. Maybe he'll bless me and let me go and do what you want.
It almost reminds me, because I mean, ultimately he's asking him to serve him, right? To do a service for him, more or less to serve him. Well, Satan said to Jesus, if you serve me, then I'll give you all these cities and anything you ever want, buddy.
Exactly. And God came unto Balaam that at night and said unto him, if the men come up to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord, this is funny. You know what? So many things in common life come from this book. Mm-hmm. And did you know, Christian, that the term dumbass comes from this book? I bet your mother would have washed your, you know, it reminds me, I picked up using the word piss many yep. years ago. And my mother hated it. Threatened to wash my mouth out, and I flipped to the book of Isaiah, and I said, you know what? Isaiah used this word all the time. Apparently, Isaiah had a potty mouth. God didn't wash his mouth out that was soap. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. So he's riding his ass, and the angel's standing there, but he can't see it, mm-hmm. and the ass can. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. Mm. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass. Started beating this donkey. Yeah,
donkey's like, no, we're going this way, buddy.
Why ain't you going? I'm telling you to go that way. And the donkey just turned around. So he's beating the poor ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. There's only one way they can go where he wants to go. And the angel's standing there with a big sword.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle, getting ready to whack his head off. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, he thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. Mm. And he beat her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. So he gets off of the poor donkey and starts beating her with a staff now. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. You know, back in the garden, animals and man communicated with each other. Did you know that? If you didn't, catch up with us on WVFFradio.com. Catch all the past episodes of Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan. And your eyes will be open to a lot of fascinating things. But after the flood, God put a curtain between the mankind and the animal kingdom. He said, they will search out your blood and you will search out their blood from henceforth. No more communication, no more cooperation. Verse 28. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? So the donkey opens her mouth, says, what are you doing beating me? Mm-hmm. Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me. He didn't even realize.
Donkey's trying to save him.
He's in the mood to beat this donkey. Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden he's talking to it. And it's talking to him.
Yeah, he's probably not even paying attention.
Right. Why are you doing this? Wait. Because you're not taking me where you want me. I want you to take me.
Yeah, it wasn't like wait a minute.
Yeah, why are you talking? Yeah, no. It just answers the donkey right back. Uh-huh. Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill you. If I had a sword, you'd be dead, donkey. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass? Do I not belong to you, upon which thou hast ridden? Ever since I was thine unto this day, ever since the day you owned me, you have ridden me. Was ever want to do so unto thee? Did I ever not take you where you wanted to go? And Balaam says, no, you didn't. You always took me where I wanted to go. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head, and he fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. I'm here because God don't want you doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee. If your donkey would not have turned away, you'd be a dead man right now, buddy.
Yep.
And she saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. The angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the outermost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? I called you long time ago. How come you didn't get here? You know, I'm the big prince here in the valley. You're just the holy man prophet guy.
Right.
I called you. Why haven't you gotten here? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? Am I not the guy that can give you everything that you want? Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word of God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. Balaam went to Balak, and they came unto Kirjahuzoth. Kirjahuzoth.
That's a fun one.
Yes, it is. The most terrifying things in this book are the names of places and some of the sons of the patriarchs.
Yes.
Yes. And Balak offered oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. It came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up unto the high place of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. So they went up on a high place, a mountain, where Baal is normally worshipped, so they could see all this mighty people of probably 2.5 million. Chapter 23, Book of Numbers. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. He's going to try one more time to convince God to let him earn this money by speaking a curse over the Israelis. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. Okay, he didn't speak to him there where Baal was worshipped. He went to another place. God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak, thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. He brought me here to put a curse on these Israelis. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let me last end be like his. He's saying, these are God's people. I can't help you. Nothing I can do. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. You're speaking highly of them. Mm-hmm. Brought you here to curse them, because I have seen it in the past. If you say, cursed be these people, they lose the battle. So I brought you here for that. Now you're blessing them. You're speaking highly of them. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? Surely you know whatever God says to me is all I can say to you. I can't change it, or I will die. Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and thou shalt not see them all, and curse me them from thence. All right, let's go to another hill. We can only see a portion of them. And just curse that small portion.
Just a little part.
Yeah, maybe half a million of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the whole 2.5 million. Just curse half a million. That might give us the edge in the upcoming battle.
Yeah, yeah. I won't mind.
And he brought him unto the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, stand here by thy burnt offering while I meet the Lord yonder. This reminds me of Abraham continually going and badgering God not to destroy all of Sodom and Gomorrah. If there's 50, if there's 40, if there's 30, if there's 15, if there's, yeah, he just right on down.
Yes, sir.
And God is very patient with Balaam, because he obviously has had a relationship with him for a long time, just like with Abraham. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again unto Balak and say thus. When he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? And he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him. Now, God took that all the way back to Jacob when he said he has not seen iniquity in Jacob. Mm-hmm. Because these people are stiff-necked and full of iniquity, but he's remembering his promise made to Jacob, and that covers these people.
Right.
God is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Interesting word there.
I agree.
Did they really exist or did they not? I think they did in the first earth. This is the second one. And if you don't understand that, catch the very first version of Between the Lines, Understanding Bible with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. You can catch that on WVFFradio.com. Surely there is an enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? There is no enchantment that you can do. There is no curse that you can do. There is nothing that you can do spiritually, that will affect these people. Okay? Remember that word, spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Because Balaam has still got these visions of giant pots of silver and gold in his head. You know, and
all that Egyptian gold that they walked away with.
Yes, and yeah. it's all so applicable today, you know. You can be the greatest Christian in the world. You can follow God so earnestly, but things can slip in, get your attention, and pull you away in a split second. It doesn't take much.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion, and he shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all nor bless them at all. But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh that I must do, and he told me to bless them.
So Balak got to the point where he's just like, just please stop talking.
Just go away. Don't say nothing. Shut up. And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee unto another place. Peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. Okay, we're looking at the western part of the camp. Let's go over to the eastern part of the camp. Maybe them some guys over there that God doesn't like as much.
Yeah.
And I understand his logic here, because there were folks in the camp that God had problems with.
Right.
The only reason they're still alive is because Moses kept falling on his face begging for their lives.
Yep.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.